Hey everyone, welcome to the Naughty Shaman Podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Carlisle, and I can't wait to dive in to a world where the sacred meets the wild and keeps things totally real. In each episode, we are going to dive into what it truly means to live a radiant life that is unapologetically real. And if you're ready to get started, so am I. Hello, everyone. This is Natalie Carlisle, and welcome to the Naughty Shaman Podcast. In today's episode, what we're going to be talking about is the big, big feeling of disappointment. I've been watching this all around. I've been listening to it in client stories, seeing in my family, and seeing disappointment in myself lately. And so I wanted to just share and help you understand a little bit about the nuances of the emotion of disappointment, and then what we can do to realistically move ourselves away from this emotion, or not away from, but more deep into this emotion, so that we can learn from it everything that it's trying to teach us. So one of the main things about disappointment is that it occurs when we have expectations that are, you know, exhibit A, and then we have the reality that comes in somehow less than our expectations. And then there's a feeling of disappointment. Now, disappointment can be, this is one of the easiest ways to relate to it. Let's say you have an ice cream cone that you get down at the boardwalk here in Bethany Beach, and you're like, man, this ice cream is going to be so good. I can't wait. I've been waiting for it all day, and blunk, it falls off and lands on the hot pavement, and now you have no ice cream. That feeling right there is disappointment. Another scenario in where we feel disappointment is when we have been building up our expectations and hopes for something to occur, like, oh my gosh, my birthday's coming and they're gonna have a big party for me and I can't wait to see all the gifts that I get. And then everyone forgets your birthday. Those are feelings of disappointment. And a lot of times what I'm realizing is that people don't understand the feeling of disappointment and don't have the name for it. And so we've lost this distinction to be able to talk about this emotion, because when people experience, let's say, the forgotten birthday scenario, they'll often say that they experience anger, resentment, resignation, like, oh, they always forget, or even apathy. And left unnoticed, left unchecked and dealt with, the feeling of disappointment can lead to extreme apathy, isolation, and depression. And so talking about disappointment is really helpful for a holistic framework of living where we're in balance with all of our emotional expressions. And so I wanted to talk about disappointment also in that how we can identify it. We've talked about a couple scenarios that I'm sure you can relate to, of the feeling of something was going to be great and then it was like meh, or bad, or worse. So our expectations are not met is fundamentally the definition of disappointment. And so there are a few different things that we can become disappointed in. We can become disappointed because an event, a moment, a collective experience didn't go the way we thought it was going to go. And so we can feel disappointed in the event, in the situation. We can also feel disappointed in another person. So we think another person is going to, you know, receive us on the phone and be a great listener and understand exactly how to listen to us and care for us in those moments where we're hurting, and they show up frazzled and stressed and not listening at all, distracted. And that moment right there is a disappointment in another. So it's a feeling of, I expected it to be like this. I wanted it to be this experience with you. And instead, I got a different experience that I did not like as well. So disappointment comes from the assessment that our needs have not been met because the situation lacked or the person lacked something. And so disappointment in another is very real. And in many spiritual communities, we learn that you know, this very strange and wonderful little spiritual bypass nuance that's very subtle is this idea in some spiritual teachings and frameworks that we, in fact, don't need to be disappointed in anyone because we should not have expectations of anyone ever at any time. Love the idea in a purist Buddhist form. It's a lovely theory. However, my experience as a human with a squishy body and human needs, and when we look at the more feminine elements of our existence, our physical body, that element of earth is very feminine. And with all of that and our beating hearts, humans have needs. We are mammalian creatures, and mammals all over the world need connection. They need love and affection. And so these are things that are our birthright, that we need as much as healthy food, and that we need as much as healthy air to breathe and sunshine in our skin. We need love and affection and connection. And what worries me about some of these spiritual teachings is that they are actually helping us bypass a very human arena where we can learn more about who we are and how we operate in society with one another, not separate from one another. And so it's kind of an invitation to be messy, to participate in the human messiness of it all, of emotions and needing things and wanting things, and the willingness to be disappointed by another, the willingness to disappoint another. This is where the courage comes in our human interactions, is that really, when we learn how to deal with disappointment, we actually have the freedom then to become more intimate, because we are saying, by revealing my messy self, by revealing this, by inviting you into this world, I'm willing to disappoint you. I probably will. You're probably going to think I'm going to clean the house and make dinner every night. And I'm probably going to disappoint you on that. The house is going to be a mess. Dinner's not going to be made. And that's part of it, is that I will likely, you know, disappoint someone who had those expectations of me. And conversely, there will be times when I am disappointed, like, oh, I thought you were going to buy me flowers for my birthday and you forgot, or whatever it is. There are opportunities there for learning, for growth, and for advanced communication skills. So we'll talk about that in a minute, about how to move through disappointment. But the third kind of disappointment, you know, we're talking about intimacy with others, but the third kind of disappointment, I think, is maybe even more difficult to deal with. And it is the disappointment that we feel in ourselves. And the disappointment that we find in ourselves is worth saying three times, disappointment we find in ourselves, because so many of us are recovering perfectionists. And it's a cute little phrase, like, I'm a recovering perfectionist. Nah! And we can trivialize it and laugh it away. But truly, recovering from perfectionist attitudes is difficult. And many, many people are struggling with it. And expectations, or they're expecting themselves to be performing, to be living at this really high level, however they define that, whether it's through how they look, how many people they're reaching through Instagram, how many dollars they have in their bank account, the number on the scale. They have these really high expectations of themselves in some or all arenas of life. And inevitably assess that they come up short. They come up short measured against those expectations. And then we can become disappointed in ourselves. and we assess that we are coming up short. It's a little cousin. This feeling of disappointment is a cousin to the unworthiness that we've been talking about a little bit in the podcasts. So this feeling of disappointment in oneself, we can become disappointed in oneself when we, for instance, make a commitment and then fail to keep that commitment. That is a moment when we're like, ugh, I could have done better there. I could have done that differently. Not should, but an acknowledgement of could. Should has a totally different energy. Like, I should have done that differently versus I could have done that differently. I don't know if you can feel the slight energetic differences between those two words, but should has a stronger element of judgment to it, of condemnation, of judgment and good or bad, and you end up in bad and maybe need to deserve punishment or some kind of, you know, adversarial thing to occur with you. And could is a word that is filled energetically with more possibility. Like, there were other options there that I did not execute, period. And there's a little more freedom and acceptance in the word could. And so our language that we use with ourselves and that we use with one another, you should have taken out the trash last night like I asked, versus you could have taken out the trash like I asked, and then I would feel so relieved that I didn't have to do that this morning. There's just a slight energetic difference between could. All right. So that's my lesson about language. So we can become disappointed in ourselves when we set too high of expectations for ourselves. They're absolutely unrealistic. Our culture does plenty of this for men and for women and the non-binary community and any community that you can think of. There are expectations for humans that are just outrageous. Wherever you identify, yoga communities, psychological communities, coaching communities, we can all, even shamanic communities, we can all get kind of wrapped up in these communities. There's some hidden expectations of how to do that right, how to do that well, how to do that great. And when we start to believe that, then we can obviously set ourselves up for feeling disappointed in ourselves if we're trying to measure up to a level of greatness when perhaps we have just started a year ago. And so comparing ourselves and doing a reality check for ourselves can be a way through this. So there are lots of opportunities in life, as we've talked about, where you can feel disappointment. You can feel disappointment in a situation like, oh, I didn't get that job I wanted. And, oh, I didn't have that conversation the way I wanted to. You can get disappointed by other people that they haven't shown up in your life like you have needed them to. I see this one a lot, too, with adults, with their parents, that are still really frustrated that they are not getting the love and support that they've always wanted, the way they've wanted it from their parents. Now, if you are, you know, an adult with obviously adult parents, if you're a parent with adult children, there is a moment when the children need to break away from pleasing their parents, and the parents need to allow this in order to have a healthy family constellation. It's natural for children to stop making an effort to make the parents proud, to make the parents pleased, to make the parents happy, to become emotionally responsible for parents. Sets up a family constellation that can be filled with drama and heaviness, and doesn't work as well for all the parties included. So to have a healthy dynamic in a family, one of the ways that we can set ourselves free from the feeling of disappointment in our family, in our adult family, in our children, whoever we're feeling disappointment from, is to allow the family relationships to be more fluid and flexible, and recognize that as an adult, it is our responsibility to serve up happiness in our lives. It's not anyone else's deal. It's our job to create feelings of safety for ourselves. It's our job to create feelings of acceptance for ourselves. It's our job to create the life that we want, the life that is fulfilling and feels good to us. Maybe you could call that happiness. But there's something about a purpose-driven life that is up to us to find, if that's something that's calling you. Our experience of life is up to us. There's nobody else that can deliver that for you. Certainly not your parents. It's not their job. Their job was to give you a home, keep you alive, make sure you had clothes, make sure you had school, make sure you got to an age of 18 or whatever, so you could take care more and more of yourself as you grew older. And if you're listening to this podcast, they did that. They did it. And maybe they didn't love you in the way you wanted or needed to be loved. And maybe parents didn't show up in a way that you maybe needed and wanted, and you felt disappointed. That's valid. It's okay to feel disappointed. But it would be a mistake to then believe that they owe you somehow. Because as an adult, it's our job to create our lives, not theirs. So I would give you permission to set your parents free. That's a lot of the work that we do in Dharma School and in one-on-one sessions, is to help set people free from relationships, whether it's parents or exes or cousins, and, you know, adults with children and adult children. It's okay to not, you know, just terrorize yourself into trying to make them happy, into trying to live their lives for them, into trying to make them all successful. Because ultimately, we all need to be able to take care of, to some degree, our own sense of belonging on the planet. And if we don't feel that, we have to heal that, because that's not something that can be just given to you. You can't go to Walmart and pick it up, you know, for $9.99. You have to create that inside. You have to create that inside of yourself. And so parents, I invite you also to set yourselves free from any guilt that you might feel or heaviness around that. Because with family dynamics, the feeling of disappointment in yourself or in others, really, you can set yourself free and begin to come into this phase of acceptance. And that is where we can find real freedom. So not only can we feel disappointment in one another, but we can feel that disappointment in ourselves. And this is when we don't perform to the level that we think we could, should, or we've let somebody down and they expected something and we didn't deliver, or we didn't keep a promise of some kind. So how do we deal with this? What a mess the feeling of disappointment is. When it comes in almost, it's like for me, like a blend of shame and resentment. It's like this mixture of that is disappointment. And it makes my stomach kind of feel like weak and watery when it first hits. And it causes a deflation of my energy body and my physical body. And it can lead, like I said, to feelings of apathy, isolation, and depression when we become disappointed in ourselves, others, or the world. So how do we handle it? First of all, if you can recognize disappointment, you are like 80% ahead of most people in the world. I would venture to say 90, 95, like you're becoming like an emotional ninja if you can start to distinguish between these nuanced emotions. And if you can pick up on the feeling of, oh, yeah, what I'm feeling is disappointment. Acknowledging it and validating it is huge. It can sometimes shift you right out of that feeling right away. But acknowledging it is the first step. And then along with disappointment, once you realize there's this, I'm disappointed, you know, that thing I needed to get done didn't get done this week because so-and-so didn't do the thing they promised. That feeling of disappointment can sometimes then also come with feelings of grief on the back end, because something was lost. Something maybe got lost. And in a relationship, you can imagine that feeling of, oh, we're going to celebrate my birthday and I can't wait. And nothing happens. There's a little bit of grief and sadness there. I don't know if you can sense it in that scenario. There's a little bit of grief and sadness for the loss of connection, fun, a feeling of being honored and cherished for losing that. That's not a trivial thing to lose. Because when we celebrate people's birthday, all of those things come in. And so it's valid and not trivial to feel disappointment in a moment like that, in lots of different moments. So acknowledging it, feeling it, letting like the wave of disappointment come through you, like, oh. And it might take 5 minutes, it might take 20 minutes, it might take, who knows, who knows. So allow the waves to kind of ride through there. And in there, you know, there are things that you can do for yourself that I like to call constructive distraction. So when we feel disappointed in ourselves and others, constructive distraction can be a great coping mechanism, even according to psychologists, because if you go clean your room, go organize your closet, clean out your sink, take a shower, wash your hair, put on makeup, go for a walk with the dog. If you do some constructive distraction, read the newspaper, read a book, then you are actually taking good care of yourself in that moment, because you're just allowing the waves of emotion to come when they come, and keeping yourself busy during that time will help you keep it from going into isolation and depression and apathy. So keep moving slowly. Don't have to be racing through life here, but keep moving forward, doing something constructive, something self-care-y for you during those times of feeling disappointed, even when it's in yourself. Self-care, especially in those moments, is critical. So the third thing that you can do, first we're going to acknowledge, we're going to ride the wave and stay busy. The third thing that we're going to do is take note of any expectations we had. So what is it I'm disappointed in? What were my expectations ahead of time? And begin to look at what were those expectations. Become conscious of where your expectations lie and start to hear them from a more neutral lens and do a little reality check. So reality check your expectations. Were those expectations real? Like, given everything that I had on my plate this week, was it an honest and realistic expectation for me to go grocery shopping and cook a meal for 5 of my friends 3 days a week? Probably not. That was not a realistic expectation. So I almost set myself up for that disappointment. Not a failure, a disappointment. This is why having this word and this emotion and this name for this emotion is so critical, because there are so many other words for it that aren't quite as accurate. Failure, you didn't fail if you didn't live up to expectations. It wasn't a failure. It was just a disappointment, which I think can help. Okay, so now we're going to acknowledge it. We're going to ride the waves and find some helpful distractions, some self-care to do in there, keep busy, and then check expectations. Do a reality check of expectations and see where you can make them more fluid. You know, like, I know some of my family and I don't agree on some things, or even view the world in the same way. Our value sets are somewhat different. And so do I expect total, complete understanding around all of my spiritual hoo-ha? No, I don't expect that. I keep that really fluid. If they do chime in about some kind of thing that they read, then I'm delighted. And that's exciting, because delighted is so different than disappointed. And it's not that I have low expectations of my family. I just keep them fluid. I'm not expecting them to validate that my values are good, because my values are mine and I like living by them. So it's not their job to make sure that I feel good living in my value system. Does that make sense? They don't have to validate. They don't have to believe like me. They don't have to see the world like me. What I love and my expectation for my family is that they love me, and that I show up for them, they show up for me, we create a lovely kind of nest for the kids that we all have. And that's what we're doing. We're showing the kids that you don't have to be the same or think the same in order to love one another. And for me, that's a tremendous legacy. The next thing that you can do is also realize, after you check your expectations and see if there's any fluidity in there, you can also then take a look at the big picture. And I love the phrase, in the grand scheme of things, how critical to my well-being is it that so-and-so agrees with me, or that this project is now a week late in the grand scheme of life? So you can check your disappointments, check your, in the big picture, go up to that eagle mindset that we talked about, that eagle perception state, where you can look down at the world and be like, okay. Or even the hummingbird perception state, where you can look down at the world and say, okay, this is just a part in the story where the hero stumbles and you know, whatever, blows all of her money or dates the wrong person or whatever, got a bad haircut, got bad hair extensions, whatever. Like, oh, this is that part where she's trying on new weird things about herself. Cool. And onward the story will go. So when we can elevate our perspective and get to the bigger picture of things, and that's one of the things that shamans, that's part of our power as shamans, is to be able to shift our perspective state in order to see a situation from multiple angles, like a dragonfly's eye, to see a situation from multiple angles simultaneously. There's a power in that because it gives us a depth of understanding and compassion for what's going on in the moment, and enough perspective to not get clogged down into it as well. Finally, we have to, you know, count our blessings and come into the fact that life is disappointing sometimes. It's like facing the reality of life is painful sometimes. It doesn't have a mysterious meaning to it. It doesn't mean that you were bad or that you deserve it or that karma is coming back to you. It's sometimes life is difficult. There's this great story that we share in Dharma School that I think I heard from Alberto. It must have been Alberto that I heard this story from, Alberto Violdo, my teacher, one of my teachers. And he used to tell this story about a village. And in the village, you know, they had sheep and it was a farming community and they had crops and it was very abundant. And like almost every year, there would be this tremendous loss of sheep because the puma would come down from the mountains after, you know, hibernation or whatever they do. I'm kind of winging the story a little bit, so sorry if I'm mixing up the details, but you'll get the point. Okay, so then the pumas come down out of the mountains. They chomp down a couple of sheep, and then all the villagers are like, oh my gosh, it's God coming to punish us. We're out of right relationship. You know, we need to do all these prayer ceremonies. And they call the shaman to bring balance back to the land so their sheep can flourish all year instead of losing them in the spring like this. And so the shaman comes onto the land and he does all the preparations and he sits with the land and comes into alignment with the land and the people over 3 or 4 days, just living in the village and fasting and journeying and paying attention. And he comes to the conclusion, and then all the villagers are like, oh, what's he going to say? What's he going to do? How are we going to fix our problem? No more pumas. Yay, no more pumas. And the shaman says, I have figured out the problem here. There is no problem. The puma is just being a puma. And I loved that. Because the puma is just doing its dharma. It's in its nature to eat meat, and sheep are pretty easy picking, especially when they're in a fence. So of course, a puma who's hungry after a winter is going to come on down and chomp down a couple of sheep. It's just the puma's nature. So it's a puma being a puma. And I love this story. And if you kind of superimpose this story over life, over our experience of life, like life is a puma and life just dishes out stuff sometimes that makes no sense. You didn't deserve it. You didn't, you know, there's not some cosmic story to every single thing. And it's okay. It's okay to just understand that pain and disappointment is a part of the human experience. Disappointment, the great gift in this emotion is compassion. Just great compassion. Being disappointed teaches you compassion and softness, and teaches you to pay attention to the little things. And so disappointment has a gift for us And if you find yourself constantly disappointed by men, by women, by authority figures, by a specific group of people, then I really encourage you to do some inner work. Do a work with one of us, because it's likely that there is some inherited ancestral patterning in there, where there is a memory or a pattern of feeling victimized or disappointed in an entire group of people. And what can happen when it's really embedded in our soul codes is that then everyone that we come in contact with will disappoint us, because we have the coding inside of us, C-O-D-E, not coding, but a code inside of us that says, gosh, heal me, heal this code of being disappointed by men, by women, by life, by whatever. And so that situation will keep coming into our lives so that we can become awake to the fact that it needs to be healed inside of us. It's not them that need to change. It's us that needs to change. We need to update our soul codes so that we can go through life differently, so that we can experience things differently, and let go of the expectation that we will be disappointed. Let go of the need to be disappointed by a group of people, and certainly let go of the old energetic ties that can hold us in that pattern longer than we need to. Oh, so this has been a lot about the feeling of disappointment. It's very uncomfortable. I just went through a scenario this week where I was disappointed in myself. I wanted to have some things done for my team. I got a little overcommitted and a little funky about that. And then I didn't get it done. And so I felt so disappointed in myself. And, you know, I was scrambling around in my brain looking for an excuse, like, where's the legitimate excuse that I messed this up or that I forgot this deadline? And of course, that was just my ego trying to save face. So when I finally got still and I realized, oh, I'm disappointed in myself, it became a very manageable situation for me rather than an overwhelming sense of shame or guilt or whatever else. It was, I'm disappointed in myself, and my team is probably disappointed in me as well. And so then I had to sit with all those feelings and find that compassion for myself, stay busy. And then look up at the great big picture of things. Like in the great big picture of things, if we're a week late, it's a bummer, but it's not going to, you know, cause Armageddon. It's not going to cause the fall of humankind. So we can wait a week, and then I can learn and try better in the future and say, I'm sorry, be forgiven, and go forward. And these are all of the gifts of disappointment. So I would hope you don't feel disappointed in some aspect of your life or in yourself, but I know, because I'm an alive human and so are you, that you are likely having feelings of disappointment somewhere in your life. And I can encourage you that the biggest, bravest step that's going to heal 80% of the pain of disappointment is acknowledging that what you're feeling is disappointment. After you acknowledge it and recognize that it's not trivial, it's not a trivial feeling to feel disappointed. And it's also not deadly, so you are going to survive it. So disappointment is something we all deal with. So go ahead and allow that. Stay busy, keep moving through your day, taking care of you, taking care of the ones you love, and just keep busy, keep moving, and let the waves come as they go. And then the last couple of steps is that you're going to also check in with your expectations and see if they need to be a little more fluid. Then you're also going to take a look at the big picture and see if the big picture, how important is it really? And you're going to forgive yourself, others, life. You're going to forgive the puma for being a puma. Is it in Natalie's nature to not be perfect? Yes, it is in my nature to not be perfect. So puma being a puma, human making a mistake. It's about par for the course, isn't it? And perhaps when we really and truly come into acceptance with that knowledge, we can be gentler with ourselves and with one another. And I hope that like you, or that you have surrounded yourself with people who are gentle truth tellers. And I count myself lucky to have, you know, a team full of people like that and a tribe full of people like that and friends and family like that. And it took work. It took work to cultivate a tribe that strong. And if you'd like help with that, let us know. But boy, it makes a difference to know that you can make mistakes and still be accepted, still be loved, still belong. And it's okay to forgive yourself and let it go and move forward. So these are the offerings that I have for you today around the very mysterious feeling of disappointment. So we're going to be having a class soon about emotional mastery, where we're going to talk about some of these nuanced but common emotions and how to coach people through them, how to coach yourself through them. And I really hope you join us, because there are not very many places where you can go learn these emotional distinctions. They come from the field of ontological coaching. It comes from psychology. It comes from a blend of many places. Rather than stuff down or override your emotions, there are ways to be fully present to all of life and all of the emotions, feelings, and moods that life can lead to. So I hope you'll join us for that. Look for the dates on our webpage, www.naughtyshaman.com. All right, this is Natalie Carlisle, and it's been a pleasure hanging out with you again. Thank you so much for listening, and I cannot wait to talk with you next week. Bright blessings all. Mwah! Live from Naughty Shaman, where we like to keep the sacred a little bit wild and totally real. If you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode, and for that, we are so grateful. Please reach out to us. Let us know what topics you'd like to see covered in our future episodes. Get in touch in the comments, because we love to hear from you. And you can reach us on social media.